633-5833.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti. ¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's the Friday edition. We've got lots to talk about today, as always. Isn't that the case? But Friday, got that Friday feeling, and we're going to try to go out with a bang, with a busy show. And today, well, we're going to look at acronyms in English. We're also going to translate another business letter. And we're going to hear Highway to Hell by AC/DC, one of my favorite bands. We're going to hear a bit about the history of that song. And also the story of a fisherman landing a 1 in a million fish in the Ozarks. Do you know what the Ozarks are? Not the TV series, no, but the region, the part of the United States. And we'll talk about this interesting fishing story. Let's get it started, everybody. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Yes, friends, we have a nice program today, and it's Friday. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're feeling well. And today I'm back. Well, I'm in Madrid after being in Canada for quite some time, but it is nice to be back in Madrid, not in the Vaughan studio today, but recording from elsewhere. But very soon, we hope to be back coming to you live from our studio. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for news about that. But let's begin our show today with a bit of translation. As we always do, we'll step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
All right, here we are in the warm-up gym. We're going to start with a few sentences of translation. As always, and this is one of the most popular parts of the show, but we're going to get into some maybe some trickier vocabulary here, okay? Number one, ¿dónde voy a encontrar algodón? Where am I going to find cotton? Algodón. Where am I going to find cotton? Mira en el botiquín. Look in the first aid kit. Look in the first aid kit. El botiquín. Look in the first aid kit. Lo encontrarás en el estante superior. You'll find it on the top shelf. En el estante superior. We say the top shelf. No lo puedo alcanzar. I can't reach it. Es que no lo puedo alcanzar. I can't reach it. Súbete a esta silla. Get on this chair. Súbete a esta silla. Get on this chair. Lo haré si me la sujetas. I'll do it if you hold it for me. Si me la sujetas. I'll do it if you hold it for me. Tienes miedo de tu propia sombra. You're afraid of your own shadow. Come on, man. You're afraid of your own shadow. De tu propia sombra. You're afraid of. Tienes miedo de. To be afraid of. You are. You're afraid of your own shadow. You're afraid of your own shadow. Hay una grieta en el hormigón. There's a crack in the concrete. Hay una grieta en el hormigón. There's a crack. Grieta. There's a crack in the concrete. El hormigón es una mezcla de arena y cemento. Concrete is a mixture. Es una mezcla. So as a noun, mezcla, we would say mixture. Mixture. T-U-R-E. Mixture. But we say mixture. It's a mixture. Concrete is a mixture of sand and cement. It's a mixture of sand and cement. Creo que me estoy enamorando. Ooh. I think I'm falling in love. Creo que me estoy enamorando. I think I'm falling in love. I think I'm falling in love. No me hagas creer. Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. No me hagas reír. Don't make me laugh. Laugh. L-A-U-G-H, but we say laugh. Laugh. Don't make me, no me hagas reír. Don't make me laugh. En serio, nunca me he sentido así. Seriously, I've never felt this way. Así, como de esta manera. I've never felt this way. Seriously, I've never felt this way. You could also say, I've never felt like this. I've never felt like this. I've never felt this way. Nunca me he sentido así. I've never felt like this. I've never felt this way. No eres capaz de amar a nadie. You aren't capable of loving anyone. Eso es un poco triste, ¿no? You aren't capable of, capaz de. You aren't capable of loving anyone. Muchas gracias. Eres una gran ayuda. Thanks a lot. You're a big help. So he's being sarcastic. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Eres una gran ayuda. You're a big help. You're a big help. Eres incapaz de sentir emoción. You're incapable of feeling emotion. Emoción. You're incapable of feeling emotion. Eres incapaz de sentir emoción. Eso es lo último que esperaba oír de ti. Perdona. That's the last thing I expected to hear from you. That's the last thing I expected to hear from you. Lo último que esperaba oír de ti. That's the last thing I expected to hear from you. ¿Cómo van las cosas con María? How are things going with María? Hey, ¿cómo van las cosas con María? How are things going? ¿Cómo van? How are things going with María? Hemos roto. Ay, qué triste. We've broken up. Yeah. Hemos roto. We have broken up. We have broken up. Hemos roto. We've broken up. Él cree que no soy lo suficientemente inteligente. She thinks I'm not intelligent enough. She thinks, ella cree. She thinks, o piensa. She thinks I'm not intelligent enough. Mm. Tiene razón. Vaya amigo, ¿eh? She's right. Tiene razón. Yeah, she's right. So, tener razón. Remember, tener razón in English we say to be right. We don't say to have reason. We say to be right. She is right. Tiene razón. She's right. Así que estás de acuerdo con ella. So, you agree with her. So you agree with her. ¿Estás de acuerdo? Estar de acuerdo, remember? Estar de acuerdo, to agree. So you agree with her. Mm-hmm. So you agree with her. ¿Estás de acuerdo con ella? Bueno, digamos que no eres un genio. Well, let's say you're not a genius. No eres un genio. You're not a genius. Well, let's say you're not a genius. No eres un genio. You're not a genius. Okay. Well, let's say you're not a genius. Tú tampoco. Neither are you. Tú tampoco. And it's the verb to be, right? You are not a genius. So, tú tampoco would be neither are you. We need to repeat the verb to be. And, of course, we have the subject there. You are not. So then we say neither are you. Neither are you. Okay? So remember, the short answer here, tú tampoco, it depends on what you're talking about. So, if I say, I don't like fish, pues tú tampoco, neither do you. You're not a genius, neither are you. Pero al menos lo reconozco. But at least, pero al menos, but at least, I admit it. Claro. At least I admit it. Lo reconozco, por lo menos. But at least I admit it. Sé cuáles son mis limitaciones. I know what my limitations are. Yeah. I know what my limitations are. You say cuáles son mis limitaciones. I know what my limitations are. Okay. I think we're all warmed up by now. So today we're going to start with a little bit of grammar here. I'd like to take a minute talking about get on, get off. que subir y bajar, to get on. Súbete al autobús, get on the bus. If you get on, then you have to later get off, bajar del autobús. So you get on and you get off. And then we also have to get in and to get out. So typically you get into things that are smaller, more personal, enclosed, whereas you get on things that are more related to mass transportation. You get on the bus, you get on the metro, you get on a train, you get on a boat, okay? Like a ferry, like a big boat, right? You get into a small boat, like you get into a canoe, but you get on, a ferry, for example. But you get into things where it's small or enclosed, like you get into a taxi, you get into a car, you get into a truck, okay? And then anything you get into, of course, you have to get out of, hay que bajar. Si entras, tienes que salir. You have to get out, right? So let's practice with a little bit of translation. Subí al avión justo a tiempo. I got on the plane just in time. Just in time. Cinco hombres con aspecto raro acaban de subir al autobús. Vaya. Con aspecto raro, además. Five strange-looking men just got on the bus. Dios mío. Five strange-looking men just got on the bus. Se me cayó la cartera cuando estaba subiendo al tren. I dropped my wallet. Se me cayó la cartera. I dropped my wallet while I was getting on the train. Súbete, deprisa, o llegamos tarde, o llegaremos tarde. Get in, quick, or we'll be late. Se bajó cerca del banco. He got out near the bank. Now, it could be get off as well. He got off the bus, but imagine he's in a taxi. He got out near the bank. Me bajaré y quitaré el folletito. I'll get out and remove the flyer. Quitaré el folletito. Folleto. Remember, folleto is a brochure or a flyer. A flyer or a brochure. ¿En qué estación bajas? This is a good one. ¿En qué estación bajas? Which station are you getting off at? Now we don't need any preposition first. We don't have to say in which station. Just which station? Hey, which station are you getting off at? To get off at the station. So we're going to use get off because we assume that we are on some form of public transportation. We're saying bajar en una estación, so we're going to say to get off. Which station are you getting off at?
How are you?
No. How are you?
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 Good. Pronunciation. It's pronunciation time, everybody. I want to talk about feel. Fell. Fill, fall. Oh my gosh, Kyle, these sound so similar. Well, feel, sentirse. Do you feel good? I feel good. Feel. And people often confuse the conjugations of these verbs. Every day I feel, yesterday I felt, lately I have felt good. Okay? And then we have the verb to fall, fall, fell, fallen. Every day I fall, yesterday I fell, lately I have fallen, fall, fell, fallen. And then we have the verb to fill, que es llenar. I filled the tank. Yesterday I filled the tank. Every day I fill the tank. Yesterday I filled the tank. Lately I have filled the tank. El depósito, llenar el depósito, to fill the tank. So, with the word feel, the double E is kind of like in be, see, we, feel, e, eel. Every day I feel, yesterday I felt. Okay, lately I've felt. The confusion here comes with the verb to fall, the caerse, to fall. Every day I fall, yesterday I fell, lately I have fallen, he caído últimamente. Lately I have fallen down the stairs. And remember, the difference between to fall and fall down. Fall down is like a child is running and they trip. They're not good enough on their feet yet. They trip and they fall down. We don't say a tree, we don't say prices fell down. No, prices fell. So fall down is like if you're running, you trip and fall down. But if prices simply bajar, as you say in Spanish, bajar, we would say the prices fell. Prices fell. They came down. They came down or they fell. But the kid was running through the park and fell down. Fell down. You know, he tripped and fell.
Expression of the day.
Well, yes, it is time for the expression of the day. And our expression of the day today is straight from the horse's mouth. Directamente de la boca del caballo. La boca del caballo. Yes, straight from the horse's mouth. And this means that it came from the highest authority or the most trusted source. So directly from someone who has authority to comment, someone who knows. And this comes from, apparently this comes from horse racing and tips on which horse is likely to win, of course, would be very sought after, would be very desirable, right? If you're betting on horses and these guys that are betting, they want to know who might win. And the most trusted authorities are those from the inner circle of the horse, like the trainers who might know about health problems with the horses. So from the horse's mouth indicates being in that inner circle, almost the closest thing to the horse itself, straight from the horse's mouth. But I could say, hey, there's going to be some big changes in the company. I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. It's not just a rumor. I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. I was talking to the boss and I heard all about it. I got the news straight from the horse's mouth. Directly from the source, directly from the reliable source. Okay? Straight from the horse's mouth. All right. Before we finish and go to a break, we're going to take a short break in a moment, but let's spend a minute and a half, or about 2 minutes, practicing with some irregular verbs in the present perfect. So I'm going to simply ask you some questions and give me a long answer. Exercises like this are so essential to developing agility with the irregular verbs in English. So the first question: when was the last time you gave me a tip? Una propina. You say, pues nunca. Kyle, I've never given you a tip. Given. Okay. When was the last time this show lasted 10 hours? This show has never lasted 10 hours. When did you last fight in a war? Dije nunca. I've never fought in a war. When was the last time there were 5 elections in 1 year in Spain? There have never been There have never been 5 elections in 1 year in Spain. When was the last time you had yellow fever? I've never had yellow fever. Como yo. I have never had yellow fever. When did you last have lunch in my house? Di que nunca. I've never had lunch in your house, Kyle. When did you last win a bridge tournament? Un torneo de bridge. Bridge que es un juego de cartas. When did you last win a bridge tournament? Never. I've never won a bridge tournament. Okay, this is so important to be able to translate these. Come up with these conjugations quickly without having to think, right? Coming from your subconscious. Without having to think about these, we want these conjugations to appear naturally without overthinking it. And exercises like this, repetitive exercises, help you develop that agility. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear some music from AC/DC after the break. Also, vocabulary related to acronyms. We've got history. We've got requests and plenty more. So stay with us, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. Fechas, tienes para elegir, del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la ciudad universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Vaughan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
If you haven't made any decision yet about your children or young adolescents concerning summer camps, July and August and early September, we offer summer camps in different places around Spain. We also offer camps in Canada, in other parts of the world. And so look into it now, because the sooner you sign up, the better. The sooner you sign up, because a time always comes in the early spring or the mid-spring in which we're full. Sometimes we're booked up. And some parents get upset, and it's usually because they didn't call in time. They waited too late. They waited too long. So for the summer camps for children or for young adolescents, think about it. Try to make your decision now and to act on it, or to least to call us in Baugan for information about this. Thank you.
Más información en el 911-333-5832 o en grupobaugan.com.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
One of my favorite albums of all time, Highway to Hell. This is the Highway to Hell, the song Highway to Hell, and this was the last album that AC/DC put out with their original singer. Not really original singer, but let's say original singer, Bon Scott. Now, they did have a singer before Bon Scott, but Bon Scott is the singer you're hearing here, and he is the first, let's say, the first singer of the famous AC/DC, okay? Now, this title, the title of this song, is often attributed to as a phrase that AC/DC guitarist Angus Young used to describe touring in America. He said, there's a lot more literal explanation, though. He said, Highway to Hell was actually the nickname for the Canning Highway in Australia. And it runs from where the lead singer Bon Scott lived in Fremantle, Australia, and ends up at a bar called The Raffles, which was a big rock and roll bar in the 70s. And Canning Highway gets close to the pub. As it gets close to the pub, it dips down into a steep decline. And they call that the Highway to Hell. So maybe that's the origin of this, but there's also references to touring. Some people think, okay, Highway to Hell is the, you know, the path to America and success in the music business. So I guess you can read into that metaphor as you like. But there you go, the Highway to Hell. Now, vocalist Brian Johnson, he said that this song was written about being on the bus, on the road, where it takes forever to get from Melbourne or Sydney to Perth and across Australia. And when the sun's setting in the west, you're driving across it. It's like a fireball, he said. There's nothing to do except have a quick game of cards or something like that on the bus. He said Bon came up with the lyrics. So obviously, Bon Scott, who was the singer here, he wrote the lyrics, which was, I think almost always the case in those days, but Bon Scott wrote the lyrics later. I think the Young brothers, Malcolm and Angus Young were involved in some lyric writing as well, I do believe. Now, this was the first AC/DC song to chart in the U.S., to appear on the charts, and it helped drive huge sales for the Highway to Hell album, which has sold over 7 million copies in America. It was actually AC/DC's sixth studio album, so it was their biggest to date up until then. But then after Bon Scott died in 1980, Brian Johnson took over, and they launched, or they released in 1980, the album Back in Black. Actually, 1981, Back in Black, which was the biggest selling AC/DC album. And it was just a groundbreaking album with Back in Black, Hell's Bells, and just a classic record. But yeah, this is sort of the pinnacle of the pinnacle of the Bon Scott era AC/DC, if you will. And a producer named Mutt Lang worked on this. He had also worked with The Cars, Bryan Adams, Def Leppard, Shania Twain, actually, who he married for a while. He produced the album. And they tried another producer, a guy named Eddie Kramer, who had worked with Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix, but the style didn't fit with AC/DC, so Mutt Lang came in and produced this record, and he really enhanced the sounds. And on this song, he added more deeper, robust background vocals in the choruses, something that AC/DC didn't previously do. And the refinements in production helped make the song a hit, and it certainly expanded their audience. So Highway to Hell, AC/DC, the one and only, one of my favorite bands. I was tempted to say my favorite band. They're certainly one of my favorite bands. And they have a new album out this past year, which is great. Also, it's dedicated to the late Malcolm Young, band member and rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young. And he passed away before the production even started, but I guess some of the riffs, some of the guitar pieces had been written by him. So they took those, I don't know if they were actually recordings that he had done or just concepts, but developed them into that album, and it's great. I recommend you check out the new AC/DC album, which, by the way, is called Power Up. Power Up. All right, let's go ahead and compare a couple of interesting grammar terms here. In fact, talking about the future with will and the future with going to. What's the difference?
Like, ask, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
All right, what's the difference? Today's What's the Difference, we have will and going to. The two most common ways of speaking in the future in English. And the explanation that I like to give here is that will is used for spontaneous things. It's used in the first conditional, the future conditional, like if I'm at the party, I will see you. If it rains, I will bring my umbrella. Or if I go to the supermarket, I'll buy some apples. Okay, I will, or I'll. But going to is, oh, and I should say will, like I said, is also used for spontaneous things. So the phone rings. Ring, ring. I'll get it. I will get it. I will answer the phone. I'll get it. We're not going to say here, I'm going to get it. Okay? Going to is used more with planned actions and stated intentions. So things that are more certain, things that are, we are more confident to be true. So I'm going to go to my friend's party in 2 weeks. Yeah, I have a friend who's going away. He's having a going away party. I'm going to go to the party. I'm going to see him at the party. I'm going to visit Canada next Christmas. That's my plan, right? So it's a planned action. I am stating my intention. Okay? So will is more spontaneous, or it's conditional, and going to is more planned. Maybe a little bit closer to being certain. But in reality, there are many cases when you can use either one. Will you be here next weekend? Are you going to be here next weekend? Are you going to be at the party? Will you be at the party? That's fine. It's fine. But what is important is that if someone asks you a question with will, that you answer with will. And if someone asks you a question with going to, that you answer with going to. And that's just a general rule, that it always sounds best. It always sounds best to match the structure that's being used in the question. It sounds most natural. Now, there's another form of future. En serio? Yeah, there's another form of future. And this one is the present continuous used as future. And this one is basically the same as going to plus infinitive. It's the same as the going to future, but it is the result of, I would say it's the result of laziness. We're lazy sometimes when we speak English, us English speakers, and we're looking for ways to shorten, to make things easier, to say things faster, okay, to say things easier, quicker, okay? So we have, for example, I'm going to the party next week. That's not the future with going to. It's the present continuous used as future. So the future with going to would be, I'm going to go to the party. But in this form, we have, I'm going to the party next week. And they mean the same thing. But let's use another verb other than the verb to go. Let's say the verb to drive. I'm driving to Valencia next weekend. I'm driving to Valencia next weekend. I'm going to Valencia next weekend. I'm traveling to Valencia next weekend. This is the present continuous, used as future. Now, sometimes people confuse it because often we are using, by coincidence, por casualidad, a veces usamos el verbo to go. Y decimos going. But if we use the going to future, it would be going to go. I'm going to go to Barcelona. I'm going to go to Valencia next weekend. I'm going to drive to Valencia next weekend. I'm going to travel to Valencia next weekend. I'm going to visit Valencia next weekend. Okay? Present continuous used as future. I'm going to Valencia next weekend. I'm traveling to Valencia next weekend. I'm visiting Valencia next weekend. It means the same thing. But what we're doing is we use the present continuous, and then we make some reference. We place a reference to the future. So we have to mention some time in the future when the event is going to happen. I'm going to Valencia next weekend. I'm eating chicken for dinner tonight. I'm watching movies next weekend. I'm hanging out with Maria on Saturday. I'm having dinner in a Peruvian restaurant on Saturday night. I'm flying to Scotland next month. Mentira, but I'd like to go. Okay, so there we have the third version of the future, the third way we can speak in the future, the present continuous used as future. Okay, so we have here the future with will, right? Planned actions. The future with will, spontaneous things, and the first conditional. And then we have the future with going to, which is for planned actions and stated intentions. It's a little bit more certain. It's going to plus infinitive. And then we have the third version, which is also for planned actions and stated intentions. And this is the present continuous used as future. Okay. So how would you say, for example, si tú no lo haces, ¿quién lo hará? If you don't do it, who will? Si llueve, nos mojaremos. If it rains, we'll get wet. True. If it rains, we'll get wet. ¿Quién me sustituirá si me pongo enfermo? Who'll replace me if I get sick? So this is all the first, this is the first conditional. We're using will, and we're typically going to contract it. Who'll replace me? What'll happen? I'll see him. They'll bring it. What'll happen? Who'll replace him? Who? Apostrophe LL. This is not a contraction that is always taught, but it is almost always said. Who'll be my teacher? Who will be my teacher? ¿Quién será mi profesor si tú no lo eres? Kyle, es que no sé. Estoy preocupado. ¿Quién será mi profesor si tú no lo eres? But we're going to contract it. Who'll be my teacher if you aren't? Who'll be my teacher if you aren't? Si eso pasa, no sé lo que haré. If that happens, I don't know what I'll do. I don't know what I'll do. Okay? So this is the future with will. And the going to is very easy because it's just going to followed by the infinitive. And the present continuous used as future, also very easy because, quite simply, it's an even shorter form. We use the present continuous and then we just add some little reference. Una referencia al futuro. A very simple little reference to the future. So we could practice a little bit more if we have to. For example, with the going to future, we can take a simple example with will. Will you learn English someday? Are you going to learn English someday? Will your boss die someday? Is your boss going to die someday? Yes. Will the President of the United States visit you next week? Will he visit you next week? Is he going to visit you next week? So the meaning is very, very similar. But remember, with going to, we're a bit more certain. We're talking about planned actions and stated intentions. Okay, and there you have the difference. All right, let's get into some vocabulary. Yay! Vocabulary, everybody. It's that time. We're going to look at acronyms. Ah, qué bien. Exactly. Acronyms. Some common acronyms. And remember, in English, we typically pronounce, it's important to remember, we typically pronounce acronyms according to the individual letter. Normally. Okay? So, for example, we say ASAP, which stands for, que significa, as soon as possible. ASAP, as soon as possible. What does AKA stand for? Remember, to stand for, eso significa. But when we use acronyms, we use to stand for, to represent in terms of an acronym. What does it stand for? What does it stand for? Okay. What does it stand for? What does AKA stand for? AKA stands for as soon as possible. What does ATM stand for? ATM stands for Automated Teller Machine. What does B&B stand for? B&B stands for Bed and Breakfast. What does B2B stand for? B2B stands for Business to Business. Business, so if you're selling to another business instead of an end customer, business to business. What does ET stand for? Like the movie, ET Go Home. ET, or phone home, rather. ET stands for extraterrestrial. What does FYI stand for? It stands for your information. What does GDP stand for? GDP stands for, right, significa, it, GDP stands for gross domestic product. Producto Interior Bruto, gross domestic product. What does MTD stand for? It stands for month to date. So when you talk about sales in a company, sometimes you, oh, the sales, MTD, month to date. Hasta la fecha, este mes, month to date. And of course, YTD would be year to date. So there you have some common acronyms, month to date, year to date, FYI, FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, AKA, also known as, right, también conocido como, also known as. So there are many of these acronyms, and little by little we can learn them, but it's also worth knowing, remembering that we typically pronounce them according to the individual letter, like we say a UFO, you say OVNI, or UFO, but oh, OVNI. But in English, we say UFO, which stands for Unidentified Flying Object. And then, of course, I want you to remember that, well, that phrasal verb to stand for, significar. ¿Qué significa eso? What does that stand for? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's Weird News. Weird news. That's right. It's time for our weird news. And today, coming from Arkansas, where an Arkansas angler has landed a ridiculously rare bass. ¿Qué? Well, an angler means a fisherman. Someone who fishes, a sport, someone who fishes for sport. It's called an angler, a sports fisherman. So an Arkansas angler lands a ridiculously rare bass. Now, bass would be like lubina. But typically here we're talking about freshwater, right? Not lake or river. Like, I caught a bass a while ago. In fact, you can see, if you want to see the picture of my bass, go to my Instagram. And I shared a picture. Actually, I shared a story yesterday, but you can probably still see it today. The picture of the bass that I caught a couple of weeks ago in Canada. It's quite a fish. But anyway, this guy caught a largemouth bass in a very rare fish in Beaver Lake in the Ozark Mountains. Now, I'll tell you what makes this fish rare in a moment. But first of all, the Ozarks, or the Ozark Mountains, this is a region in the United States, in the states of Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, and the extreme southeastern corner of Kansas. The Ozarks cover a significant portion of northern Arkansas and most of the southern half of Missouri. And there's a thick mountain range and forest there. So an Arkansas angler reeled in. He caught an extraordinarily uncommon fish recently. This guy named Josh Rogers landed a gold-colored largemouth bass in Beaver Lake in the Ozark Highlands last week. Now, he quickly identified the species of the fish, but the color made him wonder. And it turns out he had hit the jackpot. Apparently, this is a 1 in a million fish. It's extremely rare. So they said that the unique color of his fish is due to a natural but rare genetic anomaly known as xanthochroism. Pardon my pronunciation, I've never said that word before in my life. But according to the dictionary, it is a genetic variation in various vertebrates characterized by local or general absence of black and brown pigment, with normal development of the red and gold pigment. So it leads to a gold, reddish or goldish color. In the case, this fish looked gold. So he ended up returning the fish to the lake. He said, I didn't think anything about it for about an hour and a half of fishing. He says, then I started sending pictures to my friends and putting it on Instagram and Facebook. And from their reaction, I started thinking maybe I should have kept it. And I was surprised it caused such a reaction from people. And now he plans to get a replica of the fish made. But yes, so catching a goldfish, they said it was 1 in a million to get this gold-colored fish. Now, you do say, what do you say, pez de colores. In English, we say goldfish. Pero eso es otra cosa. We're talking about a bass here that should be brown or gray in color, and it came out of the water gold in a rare occurrence in the Ozark Mountains. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to review a business letter. Yay! A business letter, one of the most popular sections lately. People seem to really enjoy this, so I will do this for you again today. Also, we have questions from listeners, our by request section, and also history. We're going to go back in time and look at some interesting history and plenty more in the third and final half hour of our Drive Time show. So stay with me, folks. Don't touch that dial.
¿Tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos? Llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Baugan han desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Baugan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Okay, now tell me when to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupobaugan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
hasta aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con